Well, all this is to say that the joy of St. Paul's letters, which is apparent in everywhere he writes, stands in real contrast to the actual conditions in which he lived. He writes with reckless abandon about the joy of the gospel, the joy of knowing Christ, of living in Christ, you know, of the hope and the promise and the love and the faith. It's all a part of this life. The grace of God, how it abounds, you know. And as he gets pummeled and beaten and driven from town to town and jailed and harassed. You see, this is an odd way to talk about the Christian life if you think the Christian life is supposed to work, make things work. You see, that's not what it's about. The Christian life is an invitation to participate in the cross and resurrection. It's God's promise that daily he is going to crucify us with Christ. He's going to take us down by the power of the law. He's going to kill us off and raise us with the promise of the gospel day by day by day by day. And it's by entering into the rhythm of that kind of law and gospel promise, that way of living, that we begin to understand how it's possible to endure all things, as St. Paul wrote. To endure in the midst of great suffering, and with a sense of joy and hope. The modern psychology, for all kinds of reasons that are related to our society and our communications culture and the way we are, our pace of living, with the modern psychology has made us, on the one hand, very dexterous, but on the other hand, we are extraordinarily fragile when it comes to dealing with real difficulties. It's like putting the opposite poles of a magnet together. I mean, modern people just swerve around difficulties as quickly as they can. And that makes us very fragile, makes us shallow. It makes it hard for us to confront, like we were talking earlier about Islam, to confront the truth, the hard truths of life. Oh, I know these neighbors and they're wonderful, and you know we find ways to immediately avoid the hard confrontation. Where here God has, when God came to deal with this world, his experience was 3 years of preaching, teaching, healing, struggling, suffering, misunderstanding, being abused, tempted, and finally we nailed him to a cross and put him in a hole in the ground. That's what happens to God when he shows up here. Well, what's going to happen to God's people when they begin to confront the reality of the world as Jesus did? You read the Gospels. Jesus didn't take any nonsense. He confronted injustice. He confronted evil. He called a spade a spade. He would not permit denial to run his ministry. He wouldn't permit his disciples to wander around in the dark. He kept confronting them with the truth, and in the end, they didn't thank him for it, you see. So the book of Acts is filled with many, many anecdotes regarding Paul's journeys. It would have been sufficient if the idea was to simply tell us that he is now the apostle to the Gentiles, and he's founded all these churches. A lot of the stories in here about suffering and struggle and imprisonment and hardship could have just been easily avoided and eliminated altogether, and the successes could have been piled up one after the other, and Paul's reputation would have been established. But Luke is very careful, as Paul is in his own letters, to not shy away from laying out the details of the difficulties that Paul encountered for a church a generation later that was going to have to and was facing the same kind of world. You see, why doesn't the church understand this better as a rule? Why doesn't the church have a grittier attitude toward confronting the evils of the world and tearing the gospel into the teeth of the world? It's because For many, many, many people across the West, well, Europe is almost lost, but certainly in America, for many people in mainline churches in America, Christianity is sitting in a pew for an hour on Sunday morning. That's it. Being entertained, hearing a good sermon, singing some nice hymns, and then driving out of the parking lot, and then my will starts in again for the next week. Well, when you have millions upon millions of people who are living like that, we are a pushover, you see. Now, in Europe, they don't even do that anymore. They just walked out of the churches after the Second World War. Maybe for some good reasons, I don't know. I mean, you know, pretty disillusioned. But now they're being overrun, slowly but surely, by Islamization. Because they do not have the roots of their faith intact, and they have nothing that they believe in that's worth fighting for, except their kind of a generic westernized view of freedom of the press, freedom of speech, these things that the French Enlightenment philosophers came up with that don't require any Christianity at all. And that may be enough to stem the tide, but you see my point.